Hi, everybody. I'm Dennis Prager, and welcome to the Fireside Chat. Otto's doing well, as you can see. Otto, you doing well? Did he lift his eye even?
He blinked.
Otto. It's a special dog. You know why? Otto actually makes us relaxed. He is a giver of peace. We should rename him or give him a middle name. Otto Ten Shalom. No, Ten Shalom. Giver of peace. Wouldn't that be nice? Okay. Anyway, welcome to the Fireside Chat. I offer some thoughts and then I take your questions. It's very spontaneous, which has great advantages. Risks, obviously, but great advantages because it's very real. I love real. That's real to me is a turn on. I love real. Okay. Anyway, so much for that. I want to talk to you about a word that a lot of people misuse. A lot of people even now amazingly attack. And even those who believe in it don't often know how to define it. And that is colorblind. So I grew up with the ideal of being colorblind. That was the racial ideal, to be colorblind. That the thing you notice about a person, obviously you notice, and I'm going to explain this, of course you notice the color. You notice a lot of things about a person when you see them. But the ideal is that it doesn't matter. That's what colorblind means. It doesn't matter. Now we're told that it should matter, which is exactly what I was taught my whole life, and I grew up a liberal, was racist. To the extent that color matters is the extent that you're a racist, which is I 100% still subscribe to. If color matters to you, you're a racist. I don't care if you're black. I don't care if you're white. If color matters, you are the racist. I will not redefine myself and not even me. I will not redefine what is good to assimilate into the current thinking, which is bad. This is a true example of the biblical phrase in Hosea of those who call, woe unto those who call good evil and evil good. We are living in that age. Colorblind is good. Thinking color is important is bad. And now we're told think colorblind is bad and taking color as important as if it defines anything about you. So I'll give you a couple of examples so you will understand, truly understand what colorblind should mean and really has always meant. So people who attack us for saying colorblind is good say, you're fooling yourself. No, there's no such thing as colorblind. You don't see a person's color. But that's not what colorblind. Colorblind doesn't mean you don't see a person's color. The only person who doesn't see a person's color is a blind person. But if you have eyes, you see a person's color. But all right, to the extent that it's not an issue, look at me. What do you see? See glasses? Okay. Are you glasses blind? No, you're not glasses blind. You see my glasses. See white hair? Are you white hair blind? No, you see my white hair, but it doesn't mean anything. That's the whole point. That's the ideal of colorblind, that the color of your skin is, I see it. I'm not blind literally to the color of your skin, but it doesn't matter. That's the issue. My color hair doesn't matter to you. My wearing glasses doesn't matter to you. My color skin shouldn't matter to you. That's the whole point. But the left, whose moral compass is always broken, north is always south and south is always north, is teaching us that, oh, that's really important. But why? Why is skin color more important than hair color? I never got an answer to that. It's just something you're born with. It's a physical property. So what? That's what colorblind means. Yes, we see it, but we see many things. The question is whether we believe it's intrinsically important. What do I know about you if you're black? Let's think about that. What do I know? I meet a black person in a restaurant. What do I know about that person knowing that the person's black? The answer is nothing. The person may have moved here from Africa 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, have zero relationship to slavery in America, has nothing in common in that regard with an American black who came here or whose ancestors came here on slave ships, correct? So I know nothing unless I ask you, what is your ancestry? What if it's a black tourist from the Caribbean visiting on vacation? What do I know about you? I know nothing. I would have to ask you questions. What do you know about me seeing my color white? Nothing. Do you know I'm Jewish? You don't know I'm Jewish. So I have a very different background than a white Episcopalian in North Dakota, correct? So it's an absurdity. All whites have nothing in common, and all blacks have nothing in common, unless they have something in common that is in addition to their color. So why is it important? If I know you're white or black, do I know you're kind? Do I know you're mean? Do I know you're honest? Do I know you're a crook? Do I know you treat your family nicely? Do I know you have a family? I know nothing. I know nothing about you. So why is it significant? If I know nothing about you, how significant can it be? I know as much about you if I know your skin color as I know about you by knowing whether you wear glasses or not. In fact, I know more about you if you wear glasses. I know you need glasses. So at least I know that one fact. You know, this is such common sense and decency wrapped in one. The leftist view, the Black Lives Matter organization's view is racist and vile and stupid because we know nothing about you. What does a black conservative and a black leftist have in common? Nothing. What do a white conservative and a white leftist have in common? Nothing. What does a black conservative and a white conservative have in common? Everything. What does a white Christian and a black Christian have in common? Everything. When I speak at churches and I see black, I speak often to pastors' groups. There are black pastors and white pastors. They have so much more in common than they do with people who have no affiliation with their religion outside of their race or inside their race, I should say. This is what I mean. This is when I say college makes you stupid. I don't mean that as a put down. It is a put down, but I don't mean it as a put down. I mean it as a fact. It teaches you that this is important. So tell me one thing you know when you know a person's color. What do you know about them of any significance or even insignificance? Nothing. So how important could it be? It isn't. Now, do you know what colorblind means? Okay, time for our video question and other questions from you around the world. All right, here we go. Take it away.
Hi, Dennis Prager. My name is Ethan Lewis, and I'm from New Zealand. My question is, how far left is the right willing to go? We're seeing the right support things such as corporate welfare, social security. So how far left are we really willing to go?
You, my friend, are a thinker. That, Ethan, congratulations to you. That's a very thoughtful question. Trying to get to the opening questions here. Here we go. Okay, that is how far left is the right willing to go is a very, very serious question. So the answer is that a conservative wishes by definition to conserve, obviously conserve the best. An American conservative wants to conserve one of the unique, literally unique principles of the American founding. America is the only country founded on the principle of limited government. That's the essence or an essence, maybe the essence, maybe an essence of conservatism, limited government. As I put it many years ago, the bigger the government, the smaller the citizen. That's the way it works. The American founding was you, I, every one of us as an individual is of infinite significance. But we become less significant the more the government controls our lives. I mean, that's definitional. And when you get to the ultimate totalitarian state like North Korea or Communist China under Mao in particular, the individual was nothing. They were to dress the same. They were all comrade. They weren't Mr. or Mrs. or Ms. or anything like that. It was a blending of everyone. This is what the left has always wanted to do. It hates individuality. They say it. We hate individualism. They think it is a corrupt idea of the American system. It is the most elevating idea. You, the individual, you are infinitely precious. You are the pilot of your life. You fly your airplane. You're the captain of your ship. And if you steer your ship onto rocks, then your ship will sink. Hopefully you will survive and you'll perhaps build another ship and one day command another ship, having learned how to avoid those rocks. That's the way it works. But if you want a life where you can't sink your ship, then you're on the left. That's one of the appeals of the left. I can't sink. People are afraid of sinking. I'm using a metaphor. I don't mean drowning. I mean just sinking. People fear what being the captain of their own ship is like. It's a lot of responsibility to be the captain of your own ship. And it's a lot more fun, or seems to be a lot more fun to be taken care of and not be. Have someone else be the captain of my ship. So the right in America has given up in many, many ways the whole ideal of the limited government, because the forces of the left have been so powerful, especially since Franklin Roosevelt. The government will take care of you. The government will take care of you. We'll spend more on you. Take care of you. Take care of you. Take care of you. Because most people don't want to be the captains of their ship. That's a tragedy. That's, by the way, it's a much, much richer life. My ship has been grounded in my lifetime. And I got off the ship, built a new ship or repaired that ship, and then went sailing again. This is the metaphor of life. It's like when people tell me, my parents were divorced. I don't want to get married. Or I was divorced. I don't want to remarry. So I always ask them, if your parents had a car crash, would you drive a car? Why isn't a divorce regarded like a car crash? Most people, after a car crash, drive again. If your marriage crashed, why wouldn't you marry again? If your parents' marriage crashed? It's the people say that because they expect life to have no crashes. But a crash-free life is a terrible life. Everything okay, Otto? You know what? I think when he heard parents divorce, he got a little scared. It's very sensitive. Mommy and I are doing fine. Okie doke. That is what the right has forgotten. And so they give in more to the left until we have, you know, more and more government control and taking care of people's lives. You know, the people on the left say, we'll pay your student loan. So people who have paid their student loans at great difficulty and sacrifice say, wait a minute, why am I being penalized? I paid the loan, and now the ones who never paid the loan, but it doesn't matter. We'll just give you more and more so that we get more and more of your votes. The buying of votes is a moral problem. Anyway, your question is apropos. And I gave a generalized answer. The conservatives should conserve the ideal that the bigger the government, the smaller the citizen. All right. Emily, 13 years old, Michigan. Why does the left only focus on the bad things America did and ignore all the good things? I can't understand it. Because they're ingrates. Every leftist is an ingrate by definition. Because if you're grateful, you can't. You can be a liberal, you can be a conservative, but you can't be a leftist. Not only that, it is truly intellectually impoverished to preoccupy oneself with America's racial flaws, like slavery. Every nation in the history of the world had slavery. Every. In Africa, in the Americas, among the native peoples, in of course in Europe. Massive slavery in the Arab / Muslim worlds. Everyone. So the only intelligent question is, who got rid of slavery, not who had it? And the answer is Britain and America. And it was Christians. And this is a Jew telling you that. It's not. I have no axe to grind here. Not that a Christian would have an axe to grind necessarily. They're just telling you the truth. A lot of Christians supported slavery, and it's a shame they did. But they didn't make them any different from anybody else. But what made them different was that they abolished it. America has made the freest country for the most people in the history of the world. You're very lucky if you're an American of any color. Carlos, 27, Buenos Aires, Argentina. Hi, Dennis. I hope you are doing well. I am. My country isn't. That's my standard answer to how are you. I'm fine. My country isn't. I would love to hear your thoughts on a difficult issue. I have lived in my home country, Argentina, my whole life. I love my country, which is a good thing. People should love their country. But it is becoming harder and harder to live here due to the economic crisis that has lasted for many years. Many people I know have left to find better lives and opportunities in North America and Europe. I believe it. Argentinians are very successful around the world. I've been to Argentina a number of times. I lectured there, and I know many Argentinians abroad. Problem in Argentina, like much of Latin America, is corruption. Not natural abilities and not natural resources. Very rich in both. But I don't feel like I have any future here. I want to stay here. Part of me wants to stay here and help my country, but I don't feel like I have any future here. What is your advice for me and other people in similar countries, in similar situations? Muchas gracias. Well, in advance, de nada. So, this is a very tough question. See, if your country were suffering economically because of some external tragedy, a meteor hit Buenos Aires and crushed the economy of the capital city, just using the most external example I could think of, that's one thing. But if your country has a tremendous amount of corruption, which is eating away at a country that could be quite wealthy and free, well, you could say, look, I will stay here the rest of my life and fight for my country and against the corruption. On the other hand, you say, you know, I have one life to live. As much as I love my country, I want to live where I have opportunity. Both arguments are very powerful. My heart goes out to you. I think a lot of Americans are going to start. If the left takes over the Congress and presidency of the United States, a lot of Americans are going to have to start thinking that way, too. They love America, but they're watching it grinded down into something unrecognizable. These are very terrible issues, and there is no perfect answer. So I'm only making your question harder. I have done absolutely nothing to help you, except that I honor whichever decision you make, I honor. Maybe you leave and if things get better in Argentina, maybe the brain drain in Argentina will awaken people back home to policies that are hurting the country. I just don't know. but it's a very valid question. Tyler, 27, Boston, Massachusetts. In a society that does not value the truth, how do you win any debates? When I have debated people on the radio, on my radio show, or in public debates, there are a few public debates that I have actually on YouTube. I realize, number one, I'm not there to convince the person that I'm arguing with or debating with. I never have in my mind, will I change their mind? It almost never happens. The reason I debate is for the audience's sake. I can change minds of the listeners, of some listeners, and I can give the answers to arguments for those who already agree with me, which is just as important. Helping those who agree with you formulate the ideas properly and clearly is as important as trying to bring people over to your side. So you have to debate, but you have to know how to do it well. Calmly is always good. My motto that I adopted in the beginning of my radio career, I prefer clarity to agreement. So instead of trying to have the person agree with me, all I try to do is say, let me make clear where we differ. Well, what do you say, Otto? A rare treat. He is spunky today. This is a rare treat for you folks. Normally, he just lies there. He's looking for a more comfortable spot than his bed. This is a famous Otto position. All right. Anyway, you all know that Otto is doing well, thank God. So you need to clarify where you differ. That helps the two of you, and it helps anybody listening. So don't give up. There are many people who don't value truth. They value emotion and feeling. If they value truth, they would tell the true meaning of the word colorblind, which is what I began the fireside chat with. What's our timing there, Megan? Whoa, good. We got time for more. Great. Lee, 52, Earhart, Minnesota. Dear Dennis, you've probably been asked about this before, but I still run into apologists who are Democrats. They say they are Democrats, not Republican, because years ago the two parties switched philosophy, and now Republicans are now the racist party. We know it's hokum. Can you give a quick answer to them and so on? Thank you. This notion that people are Republicans in order to be racist is a tactic of the left. It's not an issue of truth. I truly loathe racism. I am convinced I loathe it much more than people on the left. That's why race doesn't matter to me, among other factors. The vast majority of people who are Republican because they believe in limited government, not because of racism. I'll tell you an interesting thing. When I am at events where the audience is Republican, and they're black members of the audience, you know, and they come to the pre-speech meet and greet, and they'll have hors d'oeuvres with other people who have paid to go to the meet and greet. If you are a black and you want to be loved, go to a Republican meeting. You will get more love there than anywhere outside of your family. And in fact, if you went to a Republican meeting, you probably don't get much love from your family. but I mean it quite sincerely. I try it out. Go as a black to a Republican meeting and see how people react. And you know, this notion that Republicans are racist is a lie. It's just a lie. Are there racists who are Republicans? It means nothing. They're anti-Semites who are Republicans, but I'm a Jew who feels perfectly comfortable. I don't believe people are Republican to be anti-Semitic, but there are anti-Semites. They're anti-Semite. There are more anti-Semites on the left than there are on the right. So would I say that every one of you is a Democrat is there because you're an anti-Semite? Of course not. Gary, 51, Rancho Palos Verdes, California. Today I learned a new term, white silence. The belief that white people who don't post their support of Black Lives Matter on social media are not worthy of anyone's attention. What are your thoughts on this, Dennis? I hadn't heard about that. This is pure totalitarianism. If you don't support us, you're evil. That's really something. But go to the Black Lives Matter page where it shows its beliefs. Tell me you could support it. One of the founders said she was Marxist. She was trained as a Marxist. How could I support an organization that is, in essence, totalitarian? All Marxist organizations are totalitarian. Black, white, non-race-based. This is that whole idea. You must say you support me. It's fascinating. I'm a Jew. I am not demanding that every non-Jew announce, I support Jews. I mean, the idea is preposterous. As a Jew, all I demand, I'm using being a Jew because I'm in a minority. So with a very strong history of persecution. So all I'm asking is don't hurt me. I'm not asking you to love me. This is a very interesting subject unto itself. Minorities or majorities should not demand that others love them. You know, I love individuals. I don't love groups. Okay? I don't love any group. I love good people. The only group I care of is the decent and the indecent. That was Viktor Frankl, a Jew who went through the Holocaust. His wife was murdered. Relatives were murdered. It's amazing he survived. The major psychoanalyst. He wrote the book Man's Search for Meaning, the book after the Bible that most influenced me. He was asked after the war, after all the beyond belief horrors he had witnessed. So Dr. Frankl, he was a psychoanalyst. Dr. Frankl, it's in his book, it changed my life, said, do you hate the German race? And his answer was, there are only two races, the race of the decent and the race of the indecent. That's the way I divide the world. That is the way everyone decent should divide the world. So it's a good idea to end on. That's what matters. That's all that matters, not color. I do not support a group based on color. I support or religion or anything else or nationality. I support all good people of any color. I don't know why that's not the best answer for everybody. Okay, I'm Dennis Prager. Thanks for being with me. Thank you for watching. If you'd like to keep these fireside chats free, please do by donating to PragerU.